We're doing the Drashot Aran. We're on page Kuf Mem He. Yeah. And the Shalem edition, Shin Lamed He, in the Mosander of Kuk edition. The Ran had explained that when Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting Hashem's punishment to him, Hashem's refusal to forgive him, what Moshe is stressing to the Jewish people is, look at how Hashem values you. Hashem protects your honor and wouldn't forgive me out of respect for you. There was an eternal message here to the leaders of Israel that Hashem was saying, be very careful in respecting your constituents. You got to be respectful of Am Yisrael. They're your people. They're not always right, but you still have to respect them and treat them with a certain level of dignity. And so when Moshe, at the end of his life, recounts how Hashem wouldn't forgive me because of you, he's not coming to blame Israel. He's coming to tell them, look at how God cherishes you. That out of respect for you, God wouldn't forgive me. And with this understanding, we can clarify and explain another question. Vehu, and that is, sheyadua, it's known, shatshuvam chaperet al kol avirot shebatorah v'afilu al zdonehem. Guys, we should stop right here. This powerful line, it's well known that tshuva will forgive for every sin in the Torah, even a sin that's done on purpose. Wow. If you do proper tshuva on ben adam l'chaveiro, then yes, you can get forgiveness for that too.
Is it well known?
וכיוון שכן, and being that that's so, איך אפשר שלא יללו תפילתו למשה? How come Moshe's prayer didn't work? שימחו לו השם יתברך על אבונו. Why wasn't God willing to forgive him for his sin? שאף על פי שהקדוש ברוך הוא מדקדק עם סביביו כחוט השערה, even though God is so exacting of his demands, of those that are close to him, down to a hair's width, זה לומר שחט קל שלהם נחשב כחמור של אחרים. That's just to tell us that a slight sin that they would do carries great weight. It equals the gravity of a sin, of a much more severe sin by someone else. אך איך אפשר שמשהו מספיק לחמור של אחרים שלא יספיק לקל שלהם? But if someone else does a heavy sin, they could still do tshuva. So how could it be that Moshe does a slight sin? He calls the Jewish people rebellious ones. So he said two words improperly. One word in Hebrew, hamorim. He can't repent for that. So it was a very gravitous sin. It carries great weight. Fine, but still, why can't he do tshuva? אם כך היא עמידה נמצאת אומר שאפילו לעולם הבא לא הספיקו צער ויסורין לצדיק אחד אפילו על שקרה אחת קלה שלו ואפילו שב עליה. If that's the way God runs the world, then it would certainly indicate that in the world to come, a tzaddik has a lot to pay. And it's not enough that he suffered in this world and did tshuva. If he only did the slightest sin, boy does he have a punishment waiting. Chalila lakel, God forbid. That's not what it means. וכבר אנו רואים בארבעה חילוקי כפרה שהיה רבי ישמעאל אומר שתשובה ומיתה מחפרים על הכל. We have a Gemara in Yuma. Rabbi Ishmael says there are four distinctions of how a person can attain atonement. But at the end of the day, when a person does tshuva, if he's really done tshuva and he ends up dying out of tshuva, so then he's atoned for everything. So that can't be. So we have to understand what's going on here. Why isn't God forgiving Moshe? Yes.
I think it's obvious. It sounds like it's, he's the leader. Like if you had a teacher and the teacher says to you, you're lousy. It doesn't matter how much tshuva or whatever the teacher says that he's sorry or whatever, he said you're lousy. So why would you lose your faith in the teacher and the leader?
Okay,
so
okay.
Like, because the Morim or whatever, so then they lose faith in him as a leader. So no matter how much he says he's sorry about it, they'll still think those of the washes said that we're bad.
I hear? Yeah.
If I may be misunderstanding, but if we're saying because he wasn't granted permission to come to Eretz Israel, that automatically means he wasn't forgiven?
Oh, it's a good question. Let's see in a second. That's an excellent question. I think both your points have to be analyzed after we hear the Ran. Let's see. I welcome those understandings. I'm just not sure that's what the Ran is going to promote. So let's see. Yaakov?
Yeah? I was going to say that, you know, we're only promised that the children will bring forgiveness eventually.
Oh.
But the person could still have to their suffering or past suffering of Zeus and also in this particular instance God could be using this as a teaching method.
Okay.
It's almost like he's elevating the motion into almost like a medicine.
I hear.
There's like a midrash that says that God asked Moshe to stop praying because he would.
Very nice. Okay, you guys are all giving excellent answers. Let's hear. Vafilu tomar sheya bechetzetzat chilul Hashem, v'amit shekachu. And even if you say that within this sin was also an element of the desecration of God's name, and in fact there was, we learned this. The Ran had a whole speech on this topic. What was really Moshe's sin in all this? Kmo shamar katuv yanu mentem bilakdisheni. The verse clearly indicates there was an element of chilul Hashem because they did not sanctify God's name. In kol ze. Nonetheless, it would still be a wondrous thing to say that Moshe's prayer and his merits wouldn't be enough that he should be allowed to enter the land. So, in some angle, God should have forgiven him, it would seem. So, in this medrash that we're analyzing, our sages were addressing this as well. So our sages revealed to us the secret of what's going on here. Vehu, and that is, Shashem Yitbarach Malei Rachamim U'Mavir Afilu Avonot Achamurim Shem Ben Adam Lamakom Levad. Hashem is forgiving, He is merciful, and He is willing to forgive even grave sins that are done against Him. Aval Ma Sheyimashech Mitzad Mechilat Avon Hazeh Etzel Acherim, Yefshar Sheyeh Avon Ahu Nimchak B'Shum Panim. But what affects others, that is something which Hashem is not willing to forgive. We'll see in one second what he means. Sometimes Hashem says the sin created something, and by forgiving the person, someone else is going to lose. And that's why King David, when he was praying, he said, I have done what's wrong in your eyes. I've only sinned against you, so you can forgive me. And then he says, "Kach perusho." It seems like we're missing that text. He interprets what it means there. Ulfichach amar Moshe liYisrael. And so Moshe said to Israel, "Veitaber Hashem bi lemanchem." God was upset at me on your behalf. Larot lachem lahem alat klalam etzel amakom. God was intent on showing you, the Jewish people, how much God values you. Here, Moshe is praying, and God is not forgiving. And Moshe keeps praying, and God repeatedly refuses. Why was God refusing to forgive? Incorporated in the sin was a degradation of Israel's honor. Even though that wasn't the essence of his sin, God saw that it's not right to forgive him at all. That was the message for generations. Technically, he should have gotten forgiveness. But God's saying, no, there's a message here. A person has to be so careful not to be light when it comes to the respect of the masses. Because the masses have such strength. You can't find an individual that has the wholeness of a group. The group has its own strength, its own right, it's a strength that was the first speech in the Ran, if you guys recall, only 3 years ago. The Ran in the first speech said, that there seems to be a contradiction. Shlomo HaMelech says the world is vain because the world is composed of many components which are all vain. So Shlomo HaMelech seems to say that the whole is not greater than its parts. That if all the components of the world are vain, then the whole world is vain. And then the Ran asked, we have many sources that seem to say that the whole is greater than its components, than its parts. Once you have a whole thing, it's much better. And the Ran said there's a distinction. The Ran said when you have 15 components that all have the same weakness, so then it's a problem. Then you've only strengthened the weakness. You've only made it worse. For example, you have people who are hotheads. You put them all together, so all you have are explosions. Nothing good comes out of that. They're fighting. You know, each one's going to extend his anger towards the other one, and they're a dangerous group. On the other hand, you have a group of regular people and no hotheads. So then they don't do anything. Nothing happens. So you need to scatter the hotheads among everyone, and you get one in each group, and they arouse everyone, and that's important. So when you have a soccer team, if everyone's a goalie, you'll never win. If everyone's an offenseman, you're never going to win. But if I'm the goalie and he's the offenseman and he's the defenseman, so we each cover for one another. So when you have a group that each one has different strengths and different weaknesses, then the whole is greater than its parts. Because we each cover for one another. That's how a minion works. When you have a group where they all have the same weakness, so then that's worse. Then you have a multiplication. You have a re-strengthening of a weakness, of a fault. So that's what the Ran said. Shlomo HaMelech is saying that if the whole world has the same fault, that it's all material and vain, so then the fact that it's composed of components that have the same fault, so then the whole world is vain. Whereas when you have a group of people, we all daven with a minion. Why does a minion have more power than the individual? Because each one of us has merits that the other one doesn't. And each one has weaknesses that the other one doesn't. So you look at the whole, you say, they're all tzaddikim. What do you mean? Each one has their faults, right? But they're different faults. So together we make a great team. That's the idea of a tefillah b'tzivur. That's the idea that Ran is coming back to over here. Moshe's talking about Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is a great thing. You take the whole. You have to respect that whole. So that's where Moshe was taken to task. So that was a discussion we had over there, that Chazal learned the strength of the masses from Chelbino. That the last of the spices of the Ktores is frankincense. It has a bad smell. But combined with the other spices, it brings out the good smell that's in them. So there is an idea that the Talmud says in Tractate Tanis, which is that Tanis is only a good fast if you have everyone united, including the sinners of Am Yisrael. And that's why we begin Yom Kippur with a declaration, Anu Matirim Nitpalelim Avaryanim. We hereby permit the gangsters to join the crowd. Ordinarily, we would say, you don't really belong here. Yeah. With everything that a person's done wrong, he can reach a level that is called an avaryan, a wanton sinner who we wouldn't want to pray with. On the other hand, our sages say, if you don't have a complete unity when you stand in a fast day before God, so then it's not a good fast day. You can't have your prayers accepted. We start Yom Kippur with unity. We start Yom Kippur with a declaration, Anu matirim nitpalelim avaryanim. Just before Yom Kippur comes in, right? We take out the two Sifrei Torah. The Chazan stands there. Al das hamakom, v'al dat hakahal. Anu matirin litvalelim avaryanim. Yes, so there is that concept. It's true that a guy like Korach can get the death penalty, and then he won't be a part of the group, right? But so long as he's here, so yes, there is a level where we're all together. Amichai, that was the first speech. Back to this speech. I was just explaining that the Ran is talking about a concept that he spent the whole speech expanding on. So now he's coming back to that concept and saying, God won't forgive Moshe right now, because right now there's an eternal message here. The value of the cloud, the value of Am Yisrael is a greater whole. And Moshe alluded to this in this parsha and said, "Vaneshev b'gai mul beit peor." We settled in Gai, in a valley, opposite Beit Peor. Now that pasuk should really trouble you, because ordinarily we don't identify places based on idols. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to say, "I'll meet you in front of the church. I'll meet you across from the idol." It drives me batty when people say the pesel in whatever. Make a left at the pesel. You're not supposed to talk that way. So Moshe is saying we settled there in the valley next to Beit Peor. Our sages explained. Amar lem, ru'u kama beini leveinechem shekam tefilot kam bakshot kam tachnunim asiti. Moshe Rabbeinu says, take a look. What's between me and you? How many prayers did I pray? How many requests did I make? How many times did I plead? And I it was decreed, I'm not entering the land of Israel. But you, Am Yisrael, 40 years, you were doing what was wrong in the desert. For 40 years, you were, so to speak, annoying God. We're going to say it tonight. God says, for 40 years, I was upset at the generation. And worse than that, the leaders were bowing to this despicable idol, Peor, where you'd have to defecate in front of the idol. And the leaders were going for that. And now look at you, Moshe says to Am Yisrael. You're like a new people. God's letting you into the land of Israel. He's willing to forgive you. God's saying, we're turning over a new page. You're starting fresh. You're entering the land of Israel. But look at you and look at me, Moshe says. I haven't spent 40 years sinning, but God won't forgive me. Why? Because I sinned against you. In a second, Yaakov. Our sages say, when Moshe was saying, we settled opposite Peor, he wasn't coming to remind them, hey guys, remember what you did there? He wasn't coming to rebuke them. That's not what he's about here. That's not what he's saying. We just said, he's giving them the last pep talk. So he's not about to tell them in the pep talk, and remember what you did wrong. No, he's coming to give them the strength to succeed. The rebuke he did earlier, in the beginning of Devarim, when he said, this speech, Moshe is focused on telling them, look at how great you are. Even though the leaders sinned in such a grave sin. Moshe was saying, but God loves you more than me. Look what happened here. In spite of everything you've done, He's taking you into the land of Israel, and I'm not going in. And that's because the masses as a whole, Klal Yisrael, have an elevation, have a status, have potential that no individual has. We see it in nature, that you have things that as a whole have more strength than its components. Right? Look at a car. Every component of the engine can't get you very far. You have a whole engine, you have a whole car, you get somewhere. It can accomplish much more than every component. You know, take a tire, take a steering wheel, you're not going to get very far. But you take the whole. Okay, the whole is much greater than its components. You know what they say? They say that if they break down the body into chemicals, it would value about $100. That's what they say. But the whole is much greater than its parts. So this is a phenomenal concept. And this is a phenomenal concept we take as we enter this Shabbos. This is a Shabbos where we read about Korach. We read about the man who was focused on himself, the man who had the goal to tell Moshe, you're in it for the money, for the honor, and in the name of God, he's coming to fight and break up the unity of Am Yisrael. And he's endangering the future of Klal Yisrael. And we just learned about the importance of the whole. The whole has its strength when it's unified. When you come and start making severs in the knots of Am Yisrael, you're endangering everyone. We're standing now, we have soldiers on a daily and nightly basis who are endangering their lives, going in on behalf of three children. That's a tremendous achadut. The idea that you have thousands and thousands of soldiers, and they're all doing it lovingly, going in, searching and risking their lives. They never know which house is going to be booby-trapped. They never know where someone's waiting behind the corner. And they're doing it, and we have to take a part in it. The rabbis came out asking people to accept Shabbos an hour earlier. If you're not going to accept Shabbos an hour earlier, at least come into shul an hour earlier and learn for that hour. I understand here at the Machon, the davening's at the regular time. So what we did in our shul is we're having an hour of learning beforehand. But what are we doing? There are soldiers who haven't showered all week. There are people who have slept 3 hours a night or less. And we're here with our air conditioning, coffee and cake. That's beautiful. So we can do something. Last Shabbos, they asked that every family finish the book of Tehillim. And I didn't think we could do it. because, you know, my kids are little. The eldest is 10. So I didn't think we could do it, but they did it. The kid said, it's important, we're doing it. So every before the first meal, we sat for 5-10 minutes. During the meal, we stopped for 5 minutes. After the meal, we took another 5 minutes. And if you invest time over Shabbos, you suddenly discover you can do this. I think that we each have to take a responsibility. We have to become a part of this. Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Tanis, B'sha'a she'atzibul be'etzara, when Am Yisrael is at a time of danger, if a person says, I'm okay, I got no problems, I'm going home, shalom aleich nafshi, I'm good. So then the two angels that accompany a person come and put their hands on his head and they say, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, did not partake of the suffering of the masses. He shouldn't merit to see when they have salvation and happiness. On the other hand, if a person says, I'm a part of it, then the angels that accompany a person come and put their hands on his head and say, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, he partook of the suffering of the masses. He should merit to see their salvation. So we have to partake. The Talmud says there was a huge city outside Jerusalem that had peace and tranquility, and the Romans weren't bothering them. And they would look out from their windows and see as Jerusalem was being destroyed, and they kept their candles lit. They didn't stop. They said, okay, we feel bad, but life goes on. And our sages said, because they said life goes on, it was decreed in heaven that they too would be destroyed. Technically, when the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem, that city could have made it safely. Initially, everything was fine there. But the fact that they looked and they said life goes on, that's why it was decreed they too would be destroyed. If you look closely in the beginning of the book of Shmos, you'll notice that the tribe of Levi names their children after the suffering of their brothers. Achi, Ra, Mir, Yam, Mira, Ri. Names that connote, it's bitter for me. I share in my brother's suffering. So we have a responsibility now. We're going into Shabbos. Let's plan our day in accord so that we can live the ideals we just learned. And feel a part of Am Yisrael in our prayers, in our tefillot, in our mitzvot. Shabbat shalom.